attention, please. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonia Shalabo, Benaiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonia Shalabo, Benjamin Alexander Hawkins. And I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and an honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel now entering the sanctuary. Privilege and honor to present to you sons of Israel, Fania Hyler Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech is, Who's the Liar? We are not liars here at the House of Yah. We do not teach lies. The world does. They teach that the name is God. They do not believe in the name Yah. Please turn to Exodus 20, verse 7, found on page 61. It says, You shall not take the name of Yah, your heavenly Father, and bring it to nothing, for Yah will not hold him guiltless who brings dishonor or professes his name. In the seventh book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 12, verse 97 through 99, it says, And Daniel shows that there's going to be deception and lying wonders that are going to take place in the last days. That if you weren't one of the called out ones, truly called out ones, you would have been deceived. He said, Well, here it is, very simple. It's laid out very simple for you by the apostle who's in book 2 that claimed it away with the laws. He didn't, of course. 1 Yochanan 3:4. Whoever commits sin transgresses also the laws, for sin is the transgression of the laws. Very simple, right? Verse 6. Whoever abides in him, in Yahweh, does not sin. The lying preachers tell you it's impossible to keep the laws. Well, I say, well, was it impossible for Abraham to keep the laws? That's what it says. He kept the law, statute, and judgments. The world says that we are liars. We tell them to go to Yochanan 8, verse 44 through 45. On page 825. It says, You are of your teacher who is Satan the devil, and whatever she who is your teacher desires you will do. She was a murderer from the beginning and remains not in the truth, because there is no truth in her. Therefore, when you speak your falsehood, you speak her word. Because she was a liar and the teacher of all lies. Yet, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Yahweh even calls their prophets liars in Jeremiah 23, verse 25 through 27, on page 592. It says, I have heard their prophets say, who prophesy lies in my name, say, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies? Yes, they are prophets of deceit in their own minds, who devise and plan and scheme to cause my people to forget my name throughout their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, just as they have forgotten my name for Baal Lord. It is Satan who are deceiving preachers who are the liars, and we need not to listen to their lies. We do not want to be a liar, so let's not lie one to another. Instead, we need to speak uplifting words to each other and only speak the truth. At the House of Yah, we are taught the truth of Yahweh, and we can be confident of that. May I bless your understanding. I'd like to turn over to the next speaker.
Great Deacon Abshalom Hawkins.
You may be seated. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Maybe seeing the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Um, Today we're going to be talking about the nuclear baby and the prophecies that go along with it. Remember the, how the nuclear baby was conceived on September 12th, 2006. Remember, just a woman with, as with child, 9 months brings us to June 12th, 2007. Okay? Remember, Pastor brought all this stuff out. It's also in the nuclear baby book. If you haven't read that, they have it at South Office, and ask for it. They have this is all in the nuclear baby book. Now, there's many prophecies that there's many places in Scripture where it talks about the nuclear baby and the destruction that's to come from this, how it's going to kill one-third part of man over the fourth part of the fourth part of the earth. In and around the great river Euphrates, okay? The prophecies were written, this prophecy that speaks about this was written over 2,000 years ago. Just after the one called the Savior, Yeshua Messiah, was killed in Jerusalem on a stake, okay, which was also prophesied. Now, the nuclear baby is a part of a prophecy showing the actual end of man's governments, of and by the people. And that prophecy shows us the last 7 years that starts the confirmation of the 7-year peace plan. In this prophecy, we're given the actual name of the Prime Minister of Israel, Yitzhak Rabin, and who prophecy shows would be the one whom the 7-year plan was confirmed. Okay, and we'll get into a little bit of Rabin's history here in a moment. Inspired prophecies for the last days were shown, in the holy scriptures and all throughout the book of Yahweh. And the Savior spoke about a certain time period, not just any time, but the end time. And he shows that this time period will be the worst time of trouble ever. So much that the wars would need to be held back or even delayed. Otherwise, all the flesh, on earth, every man, woman, child, everything on earth would be destroyed because of the power of these nuclear bombs. If you turn over to Matithia 24, verse 22, and it says, unless those days were shortened, that there be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. If you look at verse 21, it says, For then will be great tribulation, such as not come to pass since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever will be. Okay, this is something that's it's going to occur, and the earth, like Pastor said, the earth needs this, in order to cleanse and basically restart. If we look at Revelations, if we turn over to Revelation 7, 7:3. We can see that the end that Yeshua speaks about is of the same time period we're in now. Look at Revelation 7, verse 3. It says, saying, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our Father in their foreheads. Okay, the time period that Yeshua spoke of was the same time period mentioned by Daniel the prophet in Matithia. So first look over to Matithia 24 again. Matithia 24, look at verse 15. It says, when you see the Lord of heaven, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Okay? Now that time period spoken of by Daniel the prophet's talking about here is the 7-year peace plan confirmed with Rabin. If you look over to Daniel 9, verse 26, says, after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off without a successor, and the people of the prince that will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will be with a flood and until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Fury 27 says, and he will confirm a covenant with Rabin for 1 week, 7 years. In the midst of the week, he will cause the sacrifice of the oblation to cease. Instead, he will cause the prevalence of the Lord of Heaven, even until the destruction that is determined will be poured upon the desolator. Okay. The pastors went over that, you know, a lot, covered those two, there's two verses there. There's a lot that that's talked about if you go back and, you know, go through the book of Israel and stuff about it. Now, the seven-year peace plan was confirmed with Rabin on September 13th, 1993. Okay. Now, here's a little bit of history. Yitzhak Rabin, okay, he was born on March 1st, 1992, and he died November 4th, 1995. Remember, he was assassinated by a Jewish extremist. He was Israel's prime minister from 1974 to 1977, and then again from 1992 until his death, okay, in 1995. Says the pragmatic Rabin signed the accords on Palestinian self-rule with Yasser Arafat on September 13, 1993. Rabin was assassinated by Jewish extremists opposed to the peace agreements. Okay. He was still in office whenever he was assassinated. It says the if you remember afterwards, I think it was Netanyahu that stopped that peace plan from going into effect or from continuing on. Now remember, this is a plan of action. The prophecy shows that Rabin would be assassinated after this plan was signed and after this plan of action would be stopped in the mist. Okay, the mist of 7 years begins immediately after the first 3.5 years, which means there would be 3.5 years remaining to the peace plan. Now, the 7 years in the mist, or the, yeah, the seven, the mist of 7 years begins immediately after the 3.5 years. Okay, so let's look at some of the facts concerning the peace plan. The prophecy has been fulfilled. Okay, this the peace plan was prophesied to be a seven-year plan. Remember, it is. The prophecy, or it was prophesied to be confirmed with Rabin, and it was. It was to be a plan of action. It was prophesied that Rabin would be assassinated, and he was. The seven-year plan was to be shut down in the midst of the 7 years, and it was. It was to stay shut down for 7 years, and it was prophesied to start again. Okay. Now, the nuclear baby was prophesied to be conceived on September 12, 2006. It was prophesied to take 9 months before this baby reaches maturity, which was on June 12, 2007. The final result of the birth of the nuclear baby will be the death of a third part of man over the fourth part of Earth, over the fourth part of the Earth, in and around the Great River Euphrates. Now, remember, the prophecies, Scripture shows the prophecies come line upon line, here a little, and there a little. From many different prophecies, you know, you have to go back in order to understand the prophecies that are concerning this. So I advise you, you know, Birth of the Nuclear Baby book's a great book that goes over this stuff with the nuclear baby. So, if, you know, go back and read that, and you can see, you know, prophecies concerning this. I'm out of time. If y'all please stand. I'm going to turn over to the next speaker, Great Deacon Yada Kimba.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I'd like to show you this. Okay. The title that I got for today is the seriousness of Yahweh's laws are vital to our health and our salvation. Okay, that is a brain with tuberculosis. And you can see that it's the little spots right here is what the TB is. And let's see, Hope everyone brought their napkins today. I did. No one brought any? Oh. Let me show you what. It's kind of flattened out. But that's a brain. That's okay. Okay? And you can see how the life has left it already. How it's starting to deform. The microbes are starting to take over this. Then I'd like to show you another picture. I had somebody, when I come through the door, I said, dinner. And they go, well, you go to share? Well, yeah, in a roundabout way. Okay, this right here is a spinal cord. If you can see it right along here, okay. These are lesions right here coming out of the vertebrae. And if you could see this right here, that's another lesion. And that's tuberculosis. But let me show you this one. That's a spinal cord. And yeah, these are clean. They come from a clean animal. But I think a lot of times what we forget, the main ingredients when we say clean, I think we forget about, is it kosher? Is it kosher? And there'll be more brought out on that. And that's very important about being kosher. People out there don't know what kosher is. But you will. You will be educated on it. I guarantee it. I got proof of a lot of stuff that's just going to blow your mind. So in the 12th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 4, verse 21, and that's 4:7:12. And the great witness covers it here in verse 21. He says, hear a little bit of what they have received. Micro mug shots, which are, you know, the pictures that I've showed you before. Okay. A lineup, persistent offenders. Persistent. And these microbes are very persistent. And if you remember, that's one of the character traits, the positive character traits about being steadfast and persistent. And that's, if you're determined not to give up or change what you have set out to accomplish, and we really need to think about accomplishing the things about meat and about being the kosher part of the meat, and not just because it's clean, okay? There's a lot of things behind that. And it continues here, TB, the microbacterium tuberculosis, is the bacterium that causes TB. It is thought that up to a third of the world's population have a dormant form of TB, which can reactivate if the immune system weakens. Now, you're all carrying this, okay? So in online dictionary, let me cover something right here from the CDC, which shows this was last year. And I just hit on that brief the last time I spoke. And they say right here that 1/4 of the world's population is infected with TB. And a total of 9,100 cases of TB were reported in the United States last year. Disguising the numbers of cases attributed to recent transmission from these likely due reactivation of long-standing untreated latent TB. Let me give you the definitions of that latent TB, and that's L-A-T-E-N-T. And if you remember in the 12th book of Israel, what I just covered there about the dormant and the reactivated. Okay, the latent definition, this is online dictionary, a quality or state existing but not yet developed. It's inactive, not activated, sleeping. And from the biology dictionary, a microorganism, especially a virus present in the body without causing disease, but capable of doing so at a later stage or when transmitted to another body. And this is a definition from the Merriam-Webster dictionary. And it means not showing signs of activity or existence. It's hidden until it's activated. And we've been told several times about certain diseases that are in our bodies that are not activated at this time, but it can be. And the free dictionary, it says, latent emphasizes the hidden character or dormancy of defects and diseases, capable of coming into full being or activity at some future time. So they don't even know. It's laying dormant in every one of our bodies until that persistent time comes and it starts to activate in our bodies. Okay? The difference between latent TB infection and tuberculosis TB is a disease caused by a germ called Mycobacterium tuberculosis. And you remember right here, the Great Witch just mentioned that all the way back there, the Mycobacterium tuberculosis. Okay, and that was in 412. Okay, so this just backs up what our great teacher has told us, okay? And it's pretty awesome. The Mycobacterium tuberculosis, that is spread from person to person through the air. It's airborne. How many times have we been told that it's airborne? All these diseases are airborne. TB usually affects the lungs. And we'll have some hors d'oeuvres later on next time I get to speak on some lungs and stuff. So be prepared. Make sure you bring your napkins next time. I see that none of you have brought any. But it can also affect other parts of the body, such as the brain, kidneys, and spine. Well, you've seen the brain and the spinal cord. Well, guess what? You're going to see the kidneys also. So with that, I'd like you all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, the great Deacon Michael Ossoff Hawkins. Praise Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom, everybody. You may be seated. Peace Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is Yahweh's Hidden Codes Update, Buffalo Bill. If you'll all turn over to Isaiah 45. I have to move kind of rapidly here. Isaiah 45. And in verse 4 it says, "For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel my chosen, and I call you by your name, Jacob, and surname you Israel, though you did not recognize it was me." Let's turn over to Psalm 8. Psalm 8 quickly. Psalm 8. Named you and surnamed you. And in Psalm 8, verse 2, it says, "From the mouths of babes and sucklings, strength by you is ordained." That's very important. "So you would still the enemy, and the avenger would be judged." Okay? So we're going to jump into this. I started a search on the name Buffalo Bill. Or Ta-Abil. And it came up with, it only came up twice. And the skip on it, which is the number of characters or letters from one letter to the next, was 147. And 147 in the Strong's means great, glorious, and majestic, in which our pastor and the priesthood and the great house of Yahweh truly is. Okay, the matrix extends from 1 Chronicles 19, 14 to 1 Chronicles 22, 5. And that's a small distance of scripture and text that it covers. Usually it covers much wider. So let's go ahead and get into this. Okay, what we have here first. Okay, so right here is Buffalo Bill. We have Buffalo Bill right there. Okay. Then over here, we had two words together, which was Oki and Jacob, right here. And they extend across this whole matrix, is kind of like that. It's, the whole thing is right in there. But it extends across over into this side, okay? Then we have, which also extends into both sides of this matrix, is witnesses. We have witnesses. Okay, the two witnesses, Buffalo Bill and Jacob, and they're Okies, they're witnesses. Okay, and this one was really kind of interesting. Okay, then we have this one right here, which is radio as in wireless. And we know that they broadcast together, and they had the radio program together. Okay, so we have radio as in wireless. Then, of course, down here, going across right here on this line, is 1934, or the Hebrew year of 5694. 1934. And these are all around the word, or the name, Buffalo Bill. Okay. Then over here, coming down right here, is the word authorized. And we know that they're authorized by Yahweh to do the work that they were called out to do. Okay. Now it's going to get better. Okay, so down here, of course, we have Beit Yahweh, of course, which is House of Yahweh. Then right here is the Hebrew year 5743, which is 1982 to 1983. And we know that the establishment of the House of Yahweh took place at that time. The charters and the establishing it as a religious organization in the state of Texas and the United States. Okay. Now, there was one other thing that came up. And I started, I got with the priest who dealt with a lot of the Oklahoma, the land run, the ends of the earth sermons and information. And I told him, I said, I can't find Vernon's name in there because I wanted Buffalo Bill. Of course, he was named by Vernon. But it wasn't in there. I was getting frustrated. And I was talking to the priest who dealt with all that. And he said, he looks up at me and he goes, "Look up Sonny." And I'm like, "Sonny?" He goes, "Well, look it up. Look up Sonny. See if it's in there." And sure enough, not only Sonny was there, but named by Sonny. Named by Sonny. Yes, I clap for that. Now, the importance of that, the importance of named by Sonny, is the fact that That was a family name that only the family used. They, you know, his mother and father called him Sonny. Pastor had told me that he called him Sonny. That was like a nickname they gave him, and only they would have known about it. And it's amazing that Yahweh would put Sonny in there instead of Vernon and said, named by Sonny. So that's really impressive. Yahweh's mighty hand upon it. So what we have is Buffalo Bill Hawkins, Jacob the Okies. They're two witnesses. They had a radio program, a wireless broadcast radio. Buffalo Bill was born in 1934. They're authorized to do the work of Yahweh at the House of Yahweh. The House of Yahweh, which was established in the years of 1982 and 1983. And Buffalo Bill was named by Sonny, his brother. Praise Yahweh. Oh, wait. There is one more thing. And I knew it had to be in there also. This one right here, going across Buffalo Bill's name. It's a number. Anybody guess what it is? 1074. Goes right across pastor's name. 1074. There's lots of great things that are coming out in the code, so stay tuned. There'll be more updates. Always remember, let go, let Yahweh. He's in full control. If you'll all please stand. At this time, I have the opportunity and the blessing of turning over to a great teacher, a great priest, and a great friend, the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. All right. Can we put up the first slide, and I'll give everybody, we'll give you a hint on what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be talking about, this is going to be completely from a sermon from 10-11-03 called The Finishing Work of the Seventh Messenger, number one, Bringing Yahweh's People to Perfection. And by the end of this sermon, you're going to figure out why this had to be given today. And this is based on, guess the scripture, Revelation 10-11. Notice the date of the sermon and this prophecy. It says, "And he said to me, you must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, languages, and kings." Okay, so follow the slideshow if you would. If the next slide. We're going to go through this sermon. This is from verse 33 of that sermon. And pastor said, this is a secret work as Yahweh calls it. We are the finishing work of that. That's what I want you to understand first as we go into this feast. I want you to understand that this is the finishing touch that Yahweh is going to put on his people, and it's also his last work before his kingdom stands. You notice the gematria there, a secret work at Abel, 1074. Okay, next slide. This is from verse 42. And he's quoting Revelation 10, and he says, "And he had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices." Pastor says, all of this has meanings, but I don't have time to go into the meanings at this time. Maybe one of the elders later will bring that to you. Now notice, book open in his hand, 1074, okay? Identifying the person whose this book is open in, book open in his hand. Not that he has a book in his hand per se, but that this book has been opened for this man. He is authorized to teach what's in this book and to reveal what's here because Yahshua has loosed the seals, as we'll see shortly here. Can I have my next slide? That word book, here's the definition. The word book in that particular scripture, it's word number 976. It's the word biblos. It's where the word Bible comes from, the word book. It means a written book, a roll, and a scroll. Now notice, when you put that in exactly the way it says, you get 1782. Did we hear that number a couple weeks ago? 1782. Well, let's see what that means. Can I have my next slide? Remember, pastor told us about the scroll with the writing on both sides? Look at the definition on 1782. On each side. On each side. Really? Pastor called me and told me that, and it blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. I had to go look it up myself. Okay? And it says, on the one side and on the other, on each side. Well, what's it talking about? Pastor told us. The complete King James completed the first English Bible in America in 1782. I don't have time to go into that right now because there's going to be a lot more on it. But proving again, do you know where you're sitting? This man has this book open in his hand, okay? And Yahweh and Yahshua are in complete unity with this man. He's in complete unity with them. Can I have my next slide? Now, here's a picture of Pastor with that book open in his hand. And I want you to notice something when you just jimmy these around just a little bit. The book of Yahweh opens in his hand, 322. Remember that tag? The book of Yahweh open in his hand, 1818 and 1967. 1818, Deuteronomy 1818, the prophet that Yahweh sent for us to listen to. 1967, when he came to Abel. The book of Yahweh opened in his hand, 1976, the mark of the beast. Remember that? All you got to do is just, you know, move them around a little bit and notice what you get. It's always pointing to the witness. Can I have my next slide? And remember it says, and he set his right foot upon the sea. Now remember, the sea is what? Nations, multitudes, languages, right? Set his right foot upon the sea, 322. Okay? And we're going to learn more about that as we progress in coming sermons because you're going to see what that means. Can I have my next slide? Now, in Revelation 10:11, Pastor says, notice the finished. They will finish. Verse 11, and he said to me, that word you is added. Get that. That word you. In fact, I looked in my book of Yahweh, and when Pastor gave this sermon in 03, I remember marking that word out because he said that word you has been added. The one that said you must prophesy, you know, again. Take that word you out. And notice what you get when you take it out. And he said to me, must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. 3479 is the number, and look at the name. Look at the name, Yisrael. Yisrael, 3479, must prophesy again. Okay, it's pointing to the witness. Is that a coincidence? Let's find out. Let's look at this one. This is from the 13th book of Israel, chapter 2, verse 27. And Pastor's talking about a flying messenger that you must, Revelation 10:11, he said to me, you must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. He first showed us flying in the air, actually flying. The seventh messenger flying in the air and witnessing to people. Notice, when you put in the seventh messenger flying in the air and witnessing, look whose name comes up. 3482, Yisrael. Look at that. Now there's twice. There's two witnesses. Okay? Pointing not only to his tag number, but his name. Okay? Well, let's see if that's a coincidence. Can we have the next slide? The flying messenger, a flying messenger, 1074. You remember that flying messenger that flew all over the place, witnessing the kings and the people? Can I have my next slide? Now, in back to the sermon from 10:11:03 in verse 52, he says, I'm going to read just the underlying portion. It's talking about the seventh Moloch. He says, right here you see that you must prophesy, or prophecy must take place again by the seventh Moloch, or this work of the seventh messenger before many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. You put that in gematria, starting from the word right here to the kings, you get the word, look at, you see 1074 there on your right, with an 8 at the end of it. Now look to the left, there's 1882. And it means decree or law, and it's from 1881, meaning commission. A commission. A commission, what commission? You must go and preach this message. That's the commission, okay, that he was given. Must prophesy, that word must, if you know anything about law, It's mandatory. Must, will, shall means you must do it. It's mandatory. It's a law. It's a decree. Well, let's look at what he did here. Can I have the next slide? Here's Pastor with the great Kohan Yedidi and the great Kohan Shaul in Rome. Okay? And this is verse 16 of this same sermon. He says, the work that we're doing right now has to reach out to the world. In other words, we testify to the world and also to kings. Notice, reach out program, 1074. Really? Don't you want to be part of that reach out program? Also preached at Rome. Pastor went to Rome to preach. That's what they're doing here. And they were passing out literature everywhere in Rome. Also preached at Rome, 1074. Can I have my next slide? Here's the great witness Yisrael at the United Nations. Notice, the same verse, the work that we're doing right now has to reach out to the world. In other words, we testify to the world and also to kings. These are the inspired words of the witness. Notice, we testify to the world and also to kings is word number 3444. Well, wouldn't you know, and I brought this out before, that's the number of weeks from the birth of the witness Israel to the day he went to the UN. 3,444 weeks. And look what it means. It means salvation. Salvation, really? Remember Isaiah 49:6? Talking about Israel, I will give you for a light to the nations so that you may be my salvation to the ends of the earth. You can't deny that. Can I have my next slide? Continuing this verse 54 of the same sermon, Pastor says, it's going to have to go all around the world, not to convert the world, of course, but as a witness, as Yahshua said in Matthew 24. And remembered, Matthew 24:14, Yahshua said, and this message of the kingdom will be preached, will, meaning mandatory, will be preached to all the world by the one who bears witness to all nations, then the end will come. Well, notice, put in the Matthew 24:14 preacher, look whose name's there, 3479, Israel, again. Do you see your name there? Well, you do. You working with Israel? That's right. You're 1074. If you're part of this work, you're helping him take this message. You know, can I have my next slide? One of the means that this message went around the world was the Nancy Grace Show. Okay? And in the eighth book of Israel, a lady wrote Pastor a letter. He says, I'll go to Salvation Army and stay there. Oh, he says, one person, for instance, wrote and said, I've got to make it. I've got to get to the house of Yahweh. If you don't have a place for me, I'll go to Salvation Army and stay there so I can get to the house of Yahweh. Laughing. They said, I saw you on the Nancy Grace Show. Notice, put in, I saw you on the Nancy Grace Show. Whose name's there again? Yisrael. Nancy Grace Program, 1074. Remember, this woman helped get this message out all over the world, okay? Yes, they were coming against Pastor, but it helped promote the work and the witness went throughout the earth. Can I have my next slide? Back to the sermon from 10:11:03 in verse 56. He's quoting Revelation 1:10, where he's talking about Yochanan saying he heard the voice of a trumpet. He heard a trumpet. And remember, Vaster's voice is a trumpet, is like a trumpet, 1074, and it has the perfect sound, right? The perfect sound, 1074. You know that perfect unbroken note that comes from up here, from this witness? Can I have my next slide? In that same verse, he says, now this is a messenger who's going to speak one day what he was hearing. So he was telling you this. You know, he was talking about the seven voices that uttered their voices that were told to seal. Don't say what the seven voices said. Seal it. It's for a later time for this witness to tell you about. That's what he's talking about here. When you put that in gematria, you get the word 8,000. Notice that 8,000 means to be complete. You know, like the number seven, the seventh Moloch? To complete, to restore, to deliver, to finish. Who's going to restore the dead back to life? That's right, us. 1074, right? You see that? You know, Israel Hawkins restored a dead body to life once. You remember that? He said he had a little baby and he brought it back to life. You remember that? Go read it. Just Israel Hawkins that thing and read it for yourself. Can I have my next slide? In that same verse, the second number is 5850. Notice what it means. This is taken right out of the Bible Hub. It means a crown. Put in a crown in gematria. Look whose tag number's there. A crown, 1074. Well, let's look at the third number. Can I have the third slide? The third number is 975. That word 975 is that word biblos. Remember, Bible? A sheet or scroll of writing, a book. Remember? Psalm 12:6 says, the laws of Yahweh are pure laws like silver refined in an earthen furnace, purified seven times. Purified seven times. Remember, seven times is 1074 in gematria. And that's what the house of Yahweh is doing with the word of Yahweh. They're purifying it. They're bringing and restoring it back to its original. Okay? That's the work of this finishing work. Can I have my next slide? Now in verse 59, it says, and I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw a golden seven-lamp lampstand. Now, it says in the bottom, the last one was the seventh, the ending or finishing work of Yahweh in this time period. Put in ending or finishing work of Yahweh in this time period. Look whose name's there again. Yisrael, 3479. I mean, can you deny that's four times you've seen his name today? Okay? And the last one is the seventh. Last one, seventh, is 1074. Now, my next slide. I've shown you this before about the golden seven-lamp lampstand. Abel, Melchizedek, Abraham, Moshe, Yahshua Messiah, Jacob Hawkins, and Yisrael Abel Hawkins, the golden seven-lamp lampstand, 1074. You know, that middle lamp, if I can show this, that middle lamp, Smyrna, middle lamp, Smyrna, 1074. You see the unity there, House of Yahweh? The unity that's there. It's just magnificent, is it not? Okay, can I have the next slide? Because he said he saw in the midst of the seven lampstand one like the Son of Man. Well, who's that? He's one like the Son of Man in the midst of it is 2424. The high priest over the house of Yahweh is 2424. And notice, that's Yahshua. That's Yahshua. Okay? Our high priest. Can I have my next slide? We're almost at the end here. Now, pay close attention, House of Yahweh. Why did this have to come out today? Okay? I want you to pay close attention to a number, 3648. Okay? Now, Pastor says in the sermon from 10:11:03, in verse 66, he's talking about the ashes of the red heifer and the sprinkling. He says, once we perform that law, we can make that connection with Yahweh. This sermon is from the book of Israel, the first book of Israel, making the connection with Yahweh. Notice, once we perform that law, we can make the connection with Yahweh, 36:48. Notice, first book of Israel, making the connection with Yahweh, 36:48. And you know, when I was typing this in, 36:48 came up four times in a row. In a row. That's impossible. Now notice, the sealing of the saints, the water of the ashes of the red heifer is 3444. Remember the number of weeks from pastor's birth to going to the UN? It means salvation. Who's going to connect to Yahweh? Connect to Yahweh, 1074. Can I have my next slide? Notice, in that verse 67, he has already fulfilled six works now. He is now in the seventh work that will bring this thing to perfection. Type in the seventh work that will bring this thing to perfection. You get the number 3648 again. Well, what does 3648 mean? It means complete. entire, complete in every part, sound, perfect, entire. Okay? Sound, perfect, entire. Can you get any perfect, more perfect than this? Well, let's see. Let's look at today's date. Today's date is Samuel 23. It's 12/1/2018. You see the number? 3648. Again. But notice the number to the right. 6031. It means to speak, and it's from 6030, and it means begin to speak. Speak, testify, utter, witness. Remember Revelation 10:7 in that same chapter? But in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, when he will begin to sound or begin to speak, the great secret of Yahweh would be finished, completed. Can I have my next slide? Watch this. This sermon we're reading from? Put this in the gematria. Sermon from 10:11:03, the finishing work of the seventh messenger, number one, bringing Yahweh's people to perfection. You see your pastor's tag number there? You see your tag number? Now notice the number to the right, 6067. 6067 comes from the exact same word I just read you. It means to speak. It's from 6030. It means begin to speak. Speak, testify, utter, bear witness. Look at the side note there. Will begin to sound, 1206. I don't know. You know? 1206. Can I have my next slide? Final slide. There you are, the beautiful witness pointing at your number, House of Yahweh. That's your number. You're sitting in the midst of the 1074, the 322, the 7613. We're all part of it. Hold your places. Work hard. Overcome. Keep standing by the great witness, Israel Hawkins. You cannot go wrong. This man is the man. And at this time, my time is up. If you'd all please stand. I'd like to turn it over now to the great Kohen Yehuda Hawkins. So, hello.
I guess from what we just heard, I guess all of you should be joyful that Yahweh has your number. Yeah, please be seated, and if you will, we got a lot to cover. Please turn in your book of Yahweh to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13 on page 890. And it's on page 890. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13. This one gets pretty interesting. These things that the apostles and prophets, or prophets and apostles, wrote and translated into all these languages like Greek and Latin and so forth, the other people did, I mean, they really threw a lot of things off. They forgot the characteristics of the language. They forgot how to integrate, you know, the line of thinking that was from the apostles and prophets, vice versa if you want. But nonetheless, Yahweh has allowed his house to find the way to come up with what's really said there. And that's what we're talking about today. Food is for the stomach. Well, that makes sense. And the stomach is for food. Well, I don't know. I know people that eat stomachs and things like that. And those of you who know Spanish, I hope I get this right. I call it tripas. If I got it wrong, I apologize. I'm not very great on that language. But what I can say in English is just called tripe. The point is, it doesn't make sense. But Yahweh will destroy both it and them. Oh, everybody loses their stomach before they die? Talk about a cancer. That's something else. Now the body is not for, now here is, now they want to go over to the STD business. Now the body is not for sexual impurity, but for Yahshua, and Yahshua for the body. Now that makes a lot of sense, really. Yahshua is for somebody's body, and somebody's body is for Yahshua. Is he a mortician or something? It doesn't make any sense at all, does it? The word food that is written in 1 Corinthians 6:13 is translated from the Hebrew word akal. This word is listed on page 84 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, which shows this word means to be zealous, to devour words, to consume them greedily, and they're not talking about a Hershey candy bar. It means, in other words, you see these words and you just can't wait to get them into your heart, your inner self, your thinking. That's what it means. In other words, you pick up that book of Yahweh, you want to learn something, you pick up, we're going to go for it. And that's what it's all about. To devour words, to be zealous, to be serious about these things, to consume them greedily. The word stomach that is written in 1 Corinthians 6:13 is translated from the Hebrew word batan. This word is listed on page 79 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means the inmost part, spoken of the heart, the mind. Also, oddly enough, it's speaking of Shaul. And he's not talking about King Shaul. The word but in the clause, but Yahweh will destroy, that is written in 1 Corinthians 6:13, is translated from the Hebrew conjunction wa. This word is listed on page 233 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means for or is able to. The word destroy that is written in Revelation, that's 1 Corinthians 6:13. I typed Revelation, I don't know why. Maybe it was at 6:13, you know, I don't know. But anyway, it's 1 Corinthians 6:13. The word destroy that is written in this verse is translated from the Hebrew word bashal. This word is listed on page 199 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jasper, which also this word means to mature. And it discreetly refers to erotic matters. The word sexual impurity that are written in 1 Corinthians 6:13 are translated from the Hebrew word zana. This word is listed on page 101 of volume 2 in PDF of the Lingua Sacra by David Levi, which shows this word means fornication, adultery, harlotry, whoredom, to play the whore, to play the harlot, to not be satisfied. And it's not talking about you just had a great meal either. I'm kind of embarrassed to talk about these things, so I may kind of slide around it a little bit. The word body, here we go, that is written in 1 Corinthians 6:13 is translated from the Hebrew word guya. This word is listed on page 272 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, which shows this word means people, inhabitants, inhabitants of Yahweh. If you're an inhabitant, what are you in? Does anybody know? If you're an inhabiting a place, what is that place? A house. So this is what 1 Corinthians 6:13 is saying. The word of Yahweh should be zealously taken into one's heart, for the heart must receive the word of Yahweh, and Yahweh is able to do this. Yahweh is able to do this. He can do anything. Remember, is there anything too hard for Yahweh? What 1 Corinthians 6:13 is saying, the word of Yahweh should be zealously taken into one's heart, for the heart must receive the word of Yahweh, and Yahweh is able to do this. Now, the house of Yahweh is not a place for adultery, fornication, or seeking satisfaction or pleasure, but for Yahshua, but it is for Yahshua Messiah, for Yahshua is for the house of Yahweh. We are for him because he is for us to come to the unity of the faith. Now, there's going to be a story told about this in a minute or two. Now, if you will, take your book of Yahweh and turn to the other, further down, on page 977, we're going to look at Revelation 10, verses 8 to 11. Now, you just heard about Revelation 10, 7. Well, we're going to pick it up where that left off. Revelation 10, verses 8 to 11. There's a lot here. And the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go,
take the little book which is open in the hand of the Moloch who stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went to the Moloch and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it up. Oh, yeah. Another candy bar, I guess. And it will make your stomach bitter. Boy, I remember that, eating all that candy. But it will be sweet as honey in your mouth. Yeah, it tastes great. But it sure makes you start having stomach trouble. And I took the little book out of the Moloch's hand and ate it up. And it was sweet as honey in my mouth. And as soon as I had eaten it, my stomach was bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again before many peoples, or you must prophesy. Either way, it's still the same point. You're to get the word out to many peoples and nations and languages and kings. The word Moloch that is written in Revelation 10, verse 8, is translated from the Hebrew word Moloch. We got that one right for once. This word is listed on page 813 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament, Julius I, which shows this word means messenger, one sent. The word stands that is written in Revelation 10, 8 is translated from the Hebrew word omad. This word is listed on page 1063 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament, but Julius I, which shows this word means to stand up, to speak, or to speak. The word upon that is written in Revelation 10, 8 is translated from the Hebrew word o. This word is listed on page 1048 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, which shows this word means to speak to the heart. The word seed that is written in Revelation 10, verse 8 is translated from the Hebrew word yim. This word is listed on page 574 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, which shows this word means a sea of people. The word and in the phrase and upon the earth that is written in Revelation 10:8 is translated from the Hebrew conjunction wall. This word is listed also on page 233 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon by Benjamin Davison, which shows this word means even. The word earth that is written in Revelation 10:8 is translated from the Hebrew word aratz. This word is listed on page 153 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, which shows this word means the world. That great sea of people, the world. The words eat it up that are written in Revelation 10, verse 9, and the words ate it up that are written in Revelation 10, 10, are translated from the Hebrew word akal. This word is listed on page 84 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, which shows this word means to devour words, that is, receive these words greedily. We talked about that in a minute in 1 Corinthians. The word mouth that is written in Revelation 10, verse 9 and Revelation 10, verse 10 is translated from the Hebrew word pha. This word is listed on page 1116 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, which shows this word means speech or a speaker. The word stomach, that is, there we go, that is in the phrase stomach bitter, that is written in Revelation 10, verse 9, and the phrase stomach it was bitter, that is written in Revelation 10, 10, it's translated from the Hebrew word baton. This word is listed on page 86 of the compendious and complete Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Benjamin Davies, which shows this word means the heart. And that makes sense. When you eat the words of Yahweh the way it's supposed to be done, or taking it into you, you're supposed to have them written on the book of your heart. Let's go on. I got to turn a page here. The word bitter that is written in Revelation 10:9 and Revelation 10:10 is translated from the Hebrew word mar. This word is listed on page 861 and 871 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means to be bitter, to embitter, to be hostile, violent, to attack as an enemy. The word again that is written in Revelation 10:11 is translated from the Hebrew word shub. This word is listed on page 1350 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament, but Julius I shows this word means to repeat. So this is what Revelation 10, verse 8, 11 says, and there's a story behind this. And the voice which I heard from the heavens spoke to me again and said, go, take the little book which is opened in the hand of the Moloch who has been sent to be the spokesman who stands up to speak to the hearts of many people, even the whole world. And I went to the Moloch and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and diligently receive Yahweh's words. Because what book was this? The book of Yahweh. They will make your hearts many. But listen, they will make the hearts of many bitter, but they will be this. But it will be sweet, like sweet honey coming from your mouth. Remember, the word of Yahweh is, it says, is better than the finest gold. That's in Psalm 19, 7 through 10. Also, eating the scroll it talked about, taking the words into you, it is also mentioned in Yechezkel chapter 3. You might want to put those in your notes. What it says here, to you the book of Yahweh is a wonderful thing. But when we start telling people out of this book what it says Yahweh wants you to do, it warns you that it will make many people's hearts bitter when they hear Yahweh's words, and they will resort to anything they can come up with, even assassination, to silence the one who speaks these words. That's a warning to you. And it has come to pass. Remember, they tried to put a pastor in prison on false charges, and one of the people that arrested him said, you know, there was a contract out on you. We were supposed to take you somewhere and kill you. It didn't happen. Praise Yahweh. In fact, it all blew up in their faces because Yahweh is in control. And you don't mess with Yahweh's people. But the thing of it is, remember this. You know why they blow up like this? Because you can't handle the truth. But we can. We get the honey, you get the gall. But the point I'm trying to make is, pastor's situation was not the first time evil like this happened because somebody wanted to tell the world the truth in the book of Yahweh. It happened before. Evil happens. Wrong. Foul lying, life, death, war. I mean foul life, living a foul life. Death, war, hatred. It happened before, and this is what we're going to bring. For the concluding scripture, remember, they tried to kill Pastor because he told the world the truth. He's not the first one that went through this. There's another one that was chronicled that was just as bad. And it's pretty sad if you think about it. Because this one, not only Yahshua, I've got someone else besides just him. Turn to 1 Samuel 2, verse 22 through 25 on page 224. And there was one thing that warned here. If anybody's doing the offenses that are mentioned in these scriptures, you need to repent immediately and get right with Yahweh. On page 224, we're going to look at 1 Samuel 2, 22 through 25. Now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Now, there you go. Embarrassment again for me. So he said to them, why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about your evil dealings. Know, my sons, because it is not a righteous report that I hear, and you make the people of Yahweh transgress. Well, if he can do it, we can do it. And before you know, the law has been broken left and right, isn't it? That word transgress, it means to transgress the law. No, my sons, because it is not a righteous report that I hear, and you make the people of Yahweh transgress. Has Pastor not done the same thing talking about the STDs and how it's destroying this world and destroying the firmament because the stench of their sin goes everywhere? And it's not just words. It's a bad, smelly gas, horribly. And Pastor's trying to tell you it's not just words. It's science. It's science. No, my sons, because it is not a righteous report that I hear, and you make the people of Yahweh transgress. If one man sins against another, Yahweh will judge him. But if a man sins against Yahweh, he will intercede for him. If you're going to do something like that, Yahweh turns away from you, and so will his house. His sons, however, listen to this. His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, because it was Yahweh's will to kill them. Oh, boy. Yahweh's waiting with a machine gun. Get him in front of it. The word Yahweh that is written in 1 Samuel 2:25 is translated from the Hebrew word Yahweh. This word is listed on page 338 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word means to come to pass. The word will that is written in 1 Samuel 2:25 is translated from the Hebrew word chavatz. This word is listed on page 472 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means to wish, to be inclined, to desire. They wanted to do something. Turn the next page. What Samuel 2, 22 through 25 is saying is this. Now remember, this evil thing that occurred to Eli is the same thing that was tried to be done to Pastor. If you see a parallel here, you're right. Now Eli, this is what the scripture is actually saying. Now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing unto all Israel, and how they committed acts of fornication and adultery with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about your evil dealings. No, my sons, because it is not a righteous report that I hear, and you make the people of Yahweh transgress the law. If one man sins against another, Yahweh will judge him. But if a man sins against Yahweh, who will intercede for him? Because Yahweh and his house will turn away. But listen to this. His sons, however, did not listen to their father's word of correction, because it had come to pass that they wanted to kill him." They did not want to listen to a priest of Yahweh telling them the right way to go. They wanted to kill him just like they wanted to kill Yahshua and just like they wanted to kill Pastor. There is no place in Yahweh's house for sin. And it doesn't matter which one it is. You're stealing your tithes, it's a sin. Adultery, fornication, it's a sin. And if the house of Yahweh has to, and Pastor has to, and the priest has to, they will walk away from you. Not because they want you to be destroyed, so that you get the message that if you won't listen, like the law says, it says after the first and second admonition, reject. And believe me, they're not having fun doing it. Anybody thinks, isn't that a great thing? We just walked away from that guy. No. You don't know how many times some of us have cried over this. And we pray that if you're doing these sins, repent. You're destroying yourself. You're hurting the house of Yahweh, and you're destroying the firmament. Yahshua said in Yochanan 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So I pray for every one of you. I pray for every one of you. Be in the house of Yahweh. Don't let it be where it said of you, "You can't handle the truth." Instead, show Yahweh you are one of the people who loves the truth, and you certainly do know how to handle it. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And I now turn the services over to... I turn the services over to the great Kohen Ilya Heiler Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, of course, going on throughout what we see in this world today, and think about how when those in this world, or those even in the house of Yahweh, what occurs to someone when they choose to seek the life of the gods or the counsel of the gods? And of course, they have these articles and studies that are always released, and it blows the mind of physicians. They can't see how this would take place as they get richer and richer. But the CDC released a report this last week showing that American life expectancy is becoming shorter. Instead of living longer, it's shorter. Now, they say the common reason outside of disease is suicide and opioid overdoses. Opioid overdoses and suicide. Now, I want you to think about this in magnitude. The last study that was released, 47,000 people on average commit suicide in the United States. If you're familiar, when we wrote the Building More Excellence Unit in 2005, it was 18,000. It's went up that much in 13 years. So you're looking at half of the city of Abilene, that number, committing suicide every year. And then with this opioid addiction, of course, there's an article they released where Florida is now suing CVS and Walgreens for giving out opioids. Now, if you walk in with a prescription, they're just filling a prescription. They're part of that problem. But, of course, nobody's suing the doctors or the pharmaceutical companies. But think about it. They go in to say, people are saying, people that know what's going on are saying, the reason this opioid addiction is taking so much effect in a certain age group, well, 10 years ago, parents were telling their children, take your medications. Listen, I know you got a problem. I know something's wrong upstairs, and I know there's a situation, but you have to take this particular medication. Now, it wasn't for mental illness. It was an opioid to dull the pain, Oxycontin and so forth. And they took them. Those very same people are seeking a more stronger rush, so to speak. And they're seeking it to the point it's killing them. But who did it come from first? Well, it was parents deceived by the priest of the gods saying, take this. You won't surely die. It'll make you better. Now, I'm not telling you to quit taking what you're taking if you're prescribed something, but make sure that if you're in some kind of opioid, you know, check, ask, see what's going on in your personal life. We're not telling you to go home and throw things out the door. Okay, but check and see what's going on in your own personal life, and check and see what physicians may say and other people who have wisdom in these areas may advise you in from what other people have been successful in doing. Because the world will teach you, just like we had this Black Friday where everybody lines up to shop. Well, they wouldn't lined outside Best Buy in Massachusetts. They were all out. They were literally a line that went around the building and made a nest in the parking lot. Because the new dispensary so they could buy marijuana had opened up. And they rejoiced so much because they can now buy it legally. They could destroy their brains and no one's going to bother them. $420 for an ounce, and they were walking out with these little bags. $420 for recreational drugs. Now think about that, because there's a lot of tax money coming in on that. Something that destroys the mind and slows down learning. While all this is taking place in the United States, Russia and Turkey announced that the Turk Stream, and you may not remember what that is the gas line that was laid in the ocean to transport gas from Russia into Turkey and for future plans to go into Europe. Now, America hasn't liked that, but that is almost complete. It's very near to completion. And then the Russian upper house of parliament, they also put forth this week that if the United States leaves out of the nuclear treaty that was signed in 1987 by President Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev, they're asking for their retaliation stance to be changed to where we will hit someone with a greater or stronger force than is used against us. And, of course, they're speaking of their hypersonic missiles that President Putin showed earlier this year. And then France and Germany coming out, speaking against President Trump, calling him a nationalist. And this is all coming from where he's saying America first. But, of course, they're crying inequality. And inequality in the United States is at an all-time high. And if you don't know what that is, there's an example in the news that will show you. But it's all summed up with the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. If you've heard that before, that is inequality. And then you have the confrontation taking place in the Sea of Azov. The Sea of Azov. I want to show really quickly. Pastor showed this. If you remember, it was just a few months ago. He made a comment about this. You have Ukraine here. You have Russia here. And you have the Strait of Kerch right here. That's the only entry going into that Sea of Azov. Pastor said, watch that. There's going to be something take place there. We're going to see it. You're going to see where Russia went in. They captured some Ukrainian vessels that they said had entered Russian waters, and Russia is still holding the shipmates, the sailors that were on that. But you're going to see how they rammed the boat there to take them in, and there's confrontation taking place. Ukraine, who do they cry out to for help? They're crying out to NATO. Remember, Ukraine's not a NATO member, but they're seeking to be a NATO member. If they accomplish that, Section 4 of the NATO treaty says that If Russia attacks anyone and Ukraine's saying they were attacked, they're under martial law now. The president has put most of his country under martial law. That would be an automatic confrontation between NATO and Russia. And, of course, the tension is building up much higher at this time. And then it closes off with CBS News, and they're talking to the former deputy director of the CIA, Michael Morell, about the tensions, because reports coming out that if United States entered a war with Russia and China, they might lose. And they ask him about it, and he's saying, well, you know, listen to what he says and how he says it. We may not lose, but the end result would be devastating. Nobody wins a war. You're absolutely right. Everyone loses in war. There's no winners in war. But then notice he asked him, are you optimistic that we'll get this fixed? Listen to what his answer is. This is a man that has intel. He was in the CIA. He's part of a think tank that's supposed to figure out what's going on. If he's not optimistic there's a solution to the problem from government, you shouldn't be either. At this time, if we could go ahead and play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Wow, this is beautiful. Pictures are being taken, too. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. I'd dance with you if I could. Pictures, I looked out the window and the parking lots were full. And someone said the cars were parked all the way around the sanctuary, and they're trying to hunt them a place to park. I said, it sounds like the feast. But now, this is, from what I understand, the religious organizations here, they get a little bit jealous because they take pictures of our weekly service, and we run a greater attendance than anyone in this area anywhere. Weekly attendance. You should look at the feast. I got a word for all you preachers. It's going to get better than this at the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh is coming up. You're going down. You really need to make your way to the house of Yahweh. There's still time, you know. I know you don't have much training in the scriptures. You have a lot of training in other fields, but there's still time for you to come and learn the truth. The truth will set you free. This confusion that the great Kohan Eliyahu brought out. Now, remember, hurt not the oil. Here's a map. This is that strait that Russia has blocked right here. Now, this is a larger copy here that Crimea is with Russia, and they were separated for a while, and then they came back. But they're an ally of Russia's now, and Russia can block. You've got to get permission to come from here, around here, go through the strait, and to all of these ports. You have to put the two of those together. You come in here. This is the strait, and to for the ships to come in here and get to all of these oil docking outlets here. Hurt not the oil. Well, that they furnish oil for all of these nations right in here, these countries as they call them. And Russia now has it sewed up to where where Russia can actually stop them from taking any ships at all, any oil tankers through there. And of course, that's what they're
that's what they're blocking. It's not everything, but almost everything. The world, of course, is getting more confused all the time. And it's due to the Nimrod system, of course. I don't have much time, but I want to read you just some headlines here. UN, Eastern Jerusalem must be capital of Palestine. I'm not sure about if this is being discussed right now with the Great 20 that Kohan Eliyahu just showed you. But the Great 20, and of course President Trump walking out and them trying to get him to come back, and this shows the disgust that they have for them, and they have for him. You know, it goes both ways. Now this is the Great 20. These are the ones that Malachi Martin said could say what nation stands and what nation falls. The Great 20. They're coming together not to discuss righteousness. They're coming together to learn how to get their cut, dividing the land for gain, as the scripture says. All of this is prophesied in your scriptures. Trump administration about to give $3.8 billion to Israel. You see that stack of money? Now that's in spite of the fact that they have already offered, they already an obligation to give them. This is 3.8. They're already obligated to give them $38 billion over the next 10 years. But this is an addition to that piece of money, $38 billion. The Pope, he voiced his opinion. Pope urges generosity, meaning give us your money. We need a bigger party house. Need some place to keep all these extra babies. It's disgusting, and the people are finding out so. Ukraine, full-scale war with Russia, possible. Full-scale war. Crimean war looms as NATO provocations enter Russian waters. Another alleged Syrian chemical attack. Germany and China seeks to defuse Kerch Strait. Germany and China seek to defuse Kerch. That's like church, but it's Kerch. K-E-R-C-H Strait. Tensions as Austria worries over impact on Ukraine vote. Ukraine says Russia may be prepared to launch a large-scale ground invasion. China has more nuclear subs than the West believed. CDC, Center for Disease Control, identifies 31 states with 116 confirmed cases of polio-like disease. There you go. You can see it right there. Very few states left that don't have it. this is a laugh. St. Louis hospitals implement 100% flu shot compliance, mass firing. They're going to fire them if they don't. I think they're about ready to walk out anyway because they can't pay their bills on the money they're making because of the inflation. we, the house of Yahweh, now we're the only ones bringing. We're the only ones that's getting ready for peace. No one's getting ready for war out there. No one's getting ready for peace out there. They're all getting ready for war. I don't know if you remember when Google first started putting us on their network, but there was hardly any religious groups on there at that time. Well, they got to looking at the House of Yahweh, and they said, "We got to get on Google. That'll raise our attendance." So now all you see here is religious groups on Google for this week. Of course, we're at the top, and we're going higher than that. This mountain's not going to stop growing. But you still have time. You still have time to get in. These others I don't have time for. But I want you to turn over. Remember the great sermons now. It started off with the children. By the way, the children are really getting some great letters on Facebook. They're marveling at the children, and we got a number of letters coming into Facebook on how marvelous the House of Yahweh children are to bring forth these messages. Well, praise Yahweh. That's actually shown in prophecy. I will get to it. But I want you to turn over to Matthias 6. Matthias 6, 24 here. And you'll think I'm jumping from one subject to another. I'm not. For the next few weeks, I'll be bringing different things that will tie together to help you to understand. This is a little deeper subject than what you're used to here, and you've got to get quite a few scriptures in mind, which I'll show you what I'm talking about as I give you the scriptures. But if you don't get them all, and if you don't rehearse it and remember it, you're going to lose out on this terribly great lesson. It's a really, really a great lesson that you've got to learn before Passover. Passover is going to be special this time. You got counselors. Everybody's got counselors. If the counselor don't understand, he'll write down your question. But ask questions. The more questions you can get answered, the better off you are. But don't try to work it out on your own and interpret it. There's where you go wrong. You've got to know the subjects in the scriptures and put them all together, and there's your answer. I don't interpret scripture. I let the scripture interpret the scripture. We had a few intelligent questions. I don't know if I told you the most frequently asked question during the Feast of Booths. Did I say anything about that? It came from the women, by the way. I won't let them hear me here, but came from the women, and they wanted to know, how do I get my king-size bed in this booth? And I think men asked that question. We want some intelligent questions now. The second one was, does this booth have an upstairs? Does it come with an upstairs? Then the men, of course, they asked, when do I get my garage built on here? Well, those are all great, and we'll give you an answer, too. No question is too small. But 624, Matthias 624, I think I got the wrong scripture. Let's go to 6:1. Matthias 6:1. And I want you to catch something here. Be careful that you do not do your alms. Now, this is a small thing. This is a very small thing. Now, he's saying do your alms, but don't do it to be seen. Don't do it to be seen. Now, that means you're doing it in private. We don't sound trumpets like they did in the temple after the Catholic Church took over the temple. They would sound trumpets when a certain rich man came in to do his alms, that is, giving his tithe, dropping it in the coffer. We don't pass moon plates. Do this where you'll get the praise of Yahweh. Now, that praise of Yahweh, they love the praise of men, Yeshua said, greater than the praise of Yahweh. Don't allow this to become a something that you seek for. You would build yourself up this way and become a god. And of course, that's what they did. If you look on over to verse 22, get this in your mind. He says, the lamp of the body is the eye. Now, there's been quite a bit brought out about the body. It's the body of believers is what he's talking about here, the house of Yahweh, the whole house of Yahweh of which you are a member. And he says, the lamp that gives light. You might have seen the news article this week. It was on television also, showing it on news this week. It was on the Temple Mount, not on the Temple Mount, but near to the Temple Mount. And there was a rock background, which we sat at one day, showing the rabbis the peaceful solution. The great Kohan David Heimerman Hawkins and myself one other, and I can't remember which one it was, but sorry about that. But we sat there at that very place showing this same group who was showing off an altar there for burnt offerings and a walkway going up to it and getting ready, they said, for the rebuilding of the temple. Well, of course, there's a lot of talk. We hear that going on right now. Well, yes, because the prophecy is fixing to come to pass. We're in, or will be soon, in the last 3.5 years, shown in Daniel. And all of this is getting ready. Did you notice that the news media, it's almost like they're preaching for us now? Yeah. These guys are bringing out some great stuff here and showing the fulfillment of prophecy. And the last one that was on the news there today is almost like hearing a minister, a priest in the house of Yahweh, bringing forth some news where it's fulfilling prophecy. This place where we were, we showed them the temple model, where we also showed them the peaceful solution to rebuilding the temple, and the rabbis hugged our necks. They said, we know that we don't have the answer, and it's obvious you do. Words like this was spoken to us. The same group now, they had an altar that didn't fit measurements, and that was the first thing you'd notice if you're familiar with it. But they did say later on in the article that when the temple is built, and this takes its place in the temple, on the Temple Mount, we will have the right construction of it. I think they were hiding the construction of it because of the fact that the house of Yahweh was the ones that made this temple model, figured out all of these measurements, put it together for them, put it in a book to show them. We had to be the ones. We're the house of Yahweh. I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't have a 1074 or a 322. last night, I had to go turn the light on in the garage when the number was given to me, and it, because they said it was 322. And I said, I've heard that number, and I went down and looked, and sure enough, there it was. Well, in chapter 5 here, now, you see the 6. The lamp of the body is the eye. Well, we're talking about giving light. And the first thing that caught my eye about this temple altar, they had a seven-lamp lampstand with the western light showing. Only the western light was showing on this seven-lamp lampstand. So I know that they know part of the truth, and I know that they had to be digging or listening to our work, but like so many who worshiped Yahshua in private, these two are worshiping in private, and you can see it in the works they're doing, and they're bringing forth some, but not enough to let anyone know where they got this truth. See, but they are learning. These could convert and come over to the house of Yahweh. They're not worshiping Yahweh in Israel, not in Jerusalem, not in the land of Israel. Yahweh is not worshiped there. And if you read their article, you'll see they're worshiping their gods. And that's what they used in the article. When we were there, we used the name Yahweh. We showed them Yahweh. We showed them His truth, and they accepted it. Well, they're trying to go with it, but they're getting scolded on every turn they make. And whether you can stand up against this or not, you know, depends on what you set your mind to do. I don't try to make it hard on anyone here. I treat everyone alike, even the very young. I see to it that everyone has everything they need. We don't let anyone go without anything here. Attention is cut short because we have to deal, and your counselors have to deal with other people besides you, but the counselors will take time for every single individual, whether you are 4 years or 5 years old, or whether you're 95 years old, we will take time with you. It's all set up to do so. This is the house of Yahweh is a fine-tuned clock. We'll be getting into some studies about Samuel and Eli in maybe the next sermon. I don't know. It's planned. Their sons went wrong. Their sons, because of bloodline. The keys of this blood are still in operation. You see it in the Great 20. The Great 20 is disrespected by all the poor people. The Pope makes the meager statement of generosity. What a joke. They're sitting on tons and tons of money. They take more money from the United States than Israel or any other country. They're sitting on tons and tons of money. And this is how they got powerful. The Great 20 is not seeking after righteousness. They're seeking after power with money. You can't serve two masters. Now, this is Yahshua's words, and this is what the preacher should be preaching. You choose these people because they're rich. You don't choose them because they're righteous. You choose them, they get in office by bloodline. That's where Samuel and and Eli both made their mistake. I'm not going to make that mistake. My seed and my offspring, Yahweh says, the words will never depart from their mouth. Everybody sitting in this room belongs to me. We all belong to under Yahshua's headship, and we all belong to Yahweh. Every one of us. You will not get advanced. You will not get advanced because you want to lust for money. The only advancement in the house of Yahweh comes through righteousness and righteous behavior. Put your mind on the goal. Work for it. Push for it. Teach it. Let Yahweh pick you up. That scripture that I went to first, 6:24, I decided I do want you to read that. No one can be a slave to two masters, two owners, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh, and you see that next word? Read it. I remember Yahweh raised me properly. Everything he did was for a reason. I remember going to bed without food. I remember going through the day without food. I can't remember being hungry. Now, whether Yahweh took the hunger away or just didn't let it come, but I've noticed one thing. It when you see food, it starts creating a hunger. But if you don't have it and you don't think on it, I'm not putting you in that position right now. We got food free. Everybody gets free food. Nobody goes hungry in the house of Yahweh today. But I did when I was learning the scriptures. We never went to bed without getting our food from the scriptures. We went to bed without physical food, but we never ever went to bed that I can remember one single night that we didn't get our fill with the scriptures. I take that back. I don't think we ever got filled, but that was one of the things that we truly enjoyed every evening was the study of the scriptures. And then I grew up that way, and it's become a habit and one that I can't get enough of. And that's why I want you, and that's how you're going to get your advancement. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not tell you this. This is Yahshua's words. He is our high priest. A mansion? I doubt if Trump's mansion would equal. It would probably look like a pup tent compared to yours in the kingdom. The way Yahweh is gushing over you right now, and he's absolutely gushing over everyone here in the house of Yahweh. And I see it all through the scriptures. Every single one. He said, you can't say, the body can't say to the toe, we have no need of you, or the toenail, or what's under the toenail. The if I could take just a minute and explain about the body and the body of believers, because they're compared together. It's a great body that Yahweh is putting together, and everyone has opportunity. Everyone has the same opportunity. I won't give you anyone more opportunity than I would give anyone else. And it has to come from Yahweh, because we cast lots. We think we might know, and sometimes we don't. But the microorganisms, let me read just one thing here. Something was shown in the news, or maybe it was the gematria that the great Kohans were bringing out. Your body is wonderfully made. That's what Psalms 139:14 says. It's wonderfully made. This right here shows you just a bit of it. Your liver is the hardest working organ in your body. Your liver. Just your liver inside your body. It's the hardest working organ in your body. Not really. He's wrong on that. And the liver has to have support from almost every other organ in your body for it to work properly. But he says, that this scientist says, it's the hardest working organ in your body. Every day it has to perform over 500, your liver, every day it has to perform over 500 essential functions. These include, now 500, I'm just going to read five of them to you. It produces more than 13,000 crucial chemicals. It's not chemicals. If they'd read our books, it would help them. The preachers and the scientists really need to read the books from the book of Yahweh, the books of Israel, and you will get great knowledge from it that will help you to understand it's not chemicals. It's different substances, yes, that your body uses. But you're not getting chemicals from lettuce unless somebody sprayed it on there. There's a difference in chemicals, and your body don't need chemicals. In fact, it's poison to the human body. And regulating over 50,000 vital enzymes. That's true. No falsehood in that. No falsehood in what it's producing. 13,000 crucial. Crucial to what? For your hair to grow, your eyes to see, your ears to hear. That's what your liver is doing. It's not doing it on its own now. It has to have help from the whole body. If you'll get this picture in your mind now, you'll understand what Yahweh is putting together. The great body that he's putting together to actually govern, rule like Yahweh, the whole universe. Yes, the whole universe. You remember in Yahweh showing his glory and bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt into the land and letting them wander around in the housing them in the desert for 40 years, trying to teach them a lesson that you can't live by bread only. It's got to be by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. That's the only way. Now here he's got a body of believers, and this is similar to the body of man. Balancing the liver, it balances the sex hormones, including testosterone and estrogen, filtering nearly 100 gallons of blood. Filtering nearly 100 gallons of blood that passes through it every day, every single day. Producing a full quart of bile daily to break down fat and help with the food digestion. detoxifying waste products and pollutants like chemicals that they're spraying on your food. So the whole body can function. Now, if you'll get that in your mind, that's just five of over 500 chores that one organ is taken care of. Now, Yeshua, keep this in mind now. This is another subject. It'll all add up. Yeshua said, if the eye is evil, the whole body functions properly. Now, that's what the preachers say. That's what the Christians say. Yeshua said, if the eye is evil, the whole body is full of darkness, meaning it can't function properly. Now, he's talking about this body of believers. Now, if you get this in your mind, what I'm trying to point out, and we've got to reach this before Passover, complete unity. Did you see any unity in the great 20? Do you see any in the great 8? They picked 8 out of those and narrowed them down to 8. Do you see any unity there? But Yahweh says to you, you're going to be in full unity. If the eye is full of righteousness, the whole body is full of light. The eye. The eye. What if I was telling you that all you have to do is just drop some money in the coffer and say bye to the preacher and leave? What if I told you you're saved already? Well, that's what they're telling the people. What if I told you to go to the whorehouse, the prostitute out? What if I told you to go to the world and enjoy this body that God gave you? Well, God has given a lot of people bodies now. They got, and they're even doctoring those up. They're changing. Now get this, the scientists, they've come up with this new thing now. They're changing the genetics of the children. They're actually taking genes from animals and putting them in children, putting them in the genes of your offspring, of some. They got some on trial right now. They just produced some. Yahweh gives us laws to govern this body that I just told you how wonderful it was. He gives us these laws and he says, don't eat this. Don't eat these things right here because they'll defile your body. Now, what he meant was, if you got eyes, this eye that you see, just one eye here that you see, there's about 10,000 different kingdoms in your body that run this eye. 10,000 kingdoms, not just 10,000 microbes, but 10,000 kingdoms of microbes that operate this eye, that sends the message from the eye, the light from the eye to the brain. The brain deciphers it and can actually talk about it from the mouth. That's how wonderfully your body is made. If your eye is full of darkness, not only will the human body start having trouble seeing or tasting or hearing, all of these different kingdoms inside your body will start getting sick. You eat pork, for instance. Now they're putting them in the genes so it can stop a certain sickness from taking place that was caused by eating pork. So they take pork genes to try to doctor up the human genes so it won't have this problem? It's like sending Santa Claus to go down a chimney, right? Like sending you out to hunt some Easter eggs for breakfast, some rabbit eggs. Rabbit eggs for breakfast. You know, this is so ironic that they would come up with these things, and they're making the world think now they're going to solve their problems with sickness. Well, they don't understand about the human body. They know what we have told them so far, and so they're all studying microbes now because we brought that to their light, so this light to them, so they're studying this now. It's a sad thing. They're also using, get this, they're also using gematria. This is where the thing came from to begin with. And of course, in using this, you can use it wrongly. Some people have. They use it to make money, win lotteries. Here recently, this was going on for a long time, but recently one of the shoppers called me and said they put a number that they saw into the lottery, into the gematria, and mashed a button. They said, it's going to win. And they said, what do you want me to do? And I said, well, I tell you right now, I don't want that money in the house. But they said, well, do you think it would, you think it's true? And I said, of course it's true. And I said, don't you believe it? Well, I don't know, they said. And I said, well, go ahead and do it, but just don't bring the money home. It'll prove it. So a few minutes, they called me back, and they said, yeah, it is. What do you want me to do with the money? And I said, throw it in the trash. I don't want it. And I never asked them anymore, but knowing them, I know they threw it in the trash. I knew they didn't bring it to the house. Every time I think about gifts, I think about Abraham. This is what you need to do. Abraham was a righteous man. So was Samuel. So was Eli. I'll show you how they got it, maybe in the next sermon. But I think of Abraham, and he said, no, you're not going to trick me, talking to the king of Babylon. No, you're not going to trick me into that. Then you'd be able to stand back and say, I made Abraham rich, meaning I furnished this to the house of Yahweh because the house of Yahweh couldn't feed its poor. That's not going to be said here. Yahweh takes care of his people. You may not have a mansion right now, but you will have later if you prove to get in to my Father's house, where there are many mansions. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!
You want to serve us? Yes. You want to serve
us? Oh, yes, yes. Hang on. I got something else to show you. This is what was taken at the parking lot this morning. I want all you preachers out there on Facebook to watch this. Look, they couldn't find room in the parking lot, so they're parked all the way around the sanctuary and around the trailers, around the houses, all the way around the cafeteria. This is the parking lot this morning, just today. This is a weekly attendance. You need to come to the house of Yahweh. You can't take bits and pieces from the house of Yahweh to your churches. That won't work. Your body is sick. Get out of that. Come to this body that is not sick. May Yahweh bless you. Shalom.